In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils. Dear faithful, this statement made by the Jewish crowds about Jesus, although it is an error, demonstrates that the Jews truly believed in devils and angels. One of the ways in which the modern world tries to destroy our faith is by undermining our belief in God's purely spiritual creations, the angels. In contemporary art, they are portrayed as little girlish things with white lace dresses, lacy wings, and golden curls. The fallen angels look even sillier, wearing wetsuits with pointy ears and pointed tail. Both devils and angels are meant to look like Halloween characters, a pretty sure way to make us think of them as fake, as imaginary creatures. But certainly we know better. God created the angels, beings of a pure spirit, without bodies, before he created human beings. Being pure spirits, they are closer in nature to God than we, composite beings made of body and soul. We are, as the psalm says, a little lower than the angels. We lack certain and precise information about their creation and fall, but we certainly know of their existence. Both the Old and the New Testaments are filled with references to both the angels and their fallen counterparts, the devils. Like men, the angels were created to demonstrate God's glory and to be happy with him in heaven. They seem to serve three general purposes. The higher angels, seraphim, cherubim, and thrones, minister before the throne of God in heaven. They are there and they stay there. Those of middle rank, the dominations, the powers and virtues, oversee the workings of divine providence in the universe. And those of lower rank, principalities, archangels, and angels, mediate between God and men, between God and us. Human experience, of course, is with the lower ranks. So, we know of angels guarding churches and nations, guarding and advising us as individuals and as messengers of God's word to his people. In fact, the name angel comes from a Greek word that means messenger. For that is a capacity in which we know the major angels of the Bible. Mention the word angel, and most of us tend to think either of our guardian angel or of Saint Gabriel announcing the birth of Jesus to Mary, or of Saint Michael doing battle with the devil, or perhaps of Saint Raphael guiding the younger Tobias and healing his father. Angels, again, are similar to us in that they have both intellect and will. Yet the angelic intellect is sharper and quicker than man's. And their will was determined, is immutable, cannot change. That is to say that angels have the capacity to know about all of the things in creation without having to travel to them, or without the delays and inaccuracies introduced by our physical senses. They know instantly and clearly. And once their minds are made up, they never change. We are not exactly sure how some of the angels fell from grace. But we do know that through pride, they rejected God's graces. Some theologians, including St. Thomas, think that the fallen angels could not accept the idea of adoring God in the physical body of Jesus Christ. In any event, their unalterable wills cause the devils to reject God for eternity. The most awful thing about hell, which was created for fallen angels originally, not for people, because it was created before man's fall, is that it is an unending state of sorrow for the loss of God's freely offered graces. It is permanent for the angels now and will become permanent for all those people who reject God in their last human acts. And that's another foolish notion that being spread by the modern world, that hell is somehow temporary, that it will one day close down and fallen angels and fallen men will be taken to heaven. It's a foolish idea because it clearly violates the angelic nature and ignores God's justice. From our perspective, the most dangerous thing about the fallen angels is their envy. They have lost heaven forever, and they know it, and they are jealous of those who have not. So they are jealous of us. If I cannot be happy, I don't want anyone else to be either. That's why the fallen angels are saying. That's why they hate us, because they don't want us to succeed. They retain their great intellect and power, and they can and do use it to lead us into sin. So we are well advised to remain in the state of grace in order to be best prepared to resist them. We also have the faithful angels to call upon for help, particularly our guardian angel. Devotion to the angels is said to be a sign that we will one day enter heaven, and that only makes sense if we make it a point to associate only with the good angels and take delight in the things of heaven. We will one day go there. Perhaps you can see why the devil would like us not to believe in him or in the angels. Our eternal destiny is not yet fixed, and a lot of it depends on how we live out the rest of our lives. So, if our will can be fixed on anything, it ought to be fixed on living in the company of the angels and avoiding the wiles of the devils, so that one day we will join the company of the angels and the saints and see God face to face forever. The angels are real. They can help us if we let them. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.